Kia ora te whānau. Tuia ki te rangi, tuia ki te whenua, tuia ki te ngākau o ngā tangata katoa, tihei Māori ora. Tuatahi e mihi ki te mana whenua o tēnei whenua o Aotearoa, no Hāmoa ahau, ko Salavalu, ko Whaleula, ko Papakainga. Tai mai oku mātua i runga i te waka Pakeha, mō te tupuna rongopai ki ngā tangata o Aotearoa. I tipu ake ahau ki Greyland, ki Tamaki Makaurau, he kai mahi ahau ki Christians Against Poverty, ko Able toku ingoa, nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Wow. Greetings to the Wainuia Mata Baptist Church family. It's an absolute honour and a privilege to be before you this morning. I had just delivered my mihi, essentially just explaining a little bit about, I guess, myself, and that my grandparents had come over in a Pākehā waka, aeroplane, back in the 60s. And they'd come here to Aotearoa to, I guess, share the gospel and church plant across New Zealand, all the way from Auckland down in Invercargill and then over to a few of the states in Australia, and that I'm Samoan, so I'm not Māori, sorry, but I'm Samoan. My villages in Samoa are Salavalu and Whaleula, both from where my parents are from those villages. My dad's from the main village, and my mum's from, well, she'll say that the other village is the main, the other island is the main island as well. That's Samoan's there. Now islands is the main one now. Villages in Samoa, and I grew up in Grey Lynn. If you've ever been to Auckland, central suburbs in Tamaki Makaurau, and I work for Christians Against Poverty, as Alan had alluded to earlier. I am Church Relations Manager for Christians Against Poverty, and my name is Abel. And again, just thank you so much for having me here. Thank you, Pastor Royce. I've met Royce a few times now, and have you guys got a pastor, mate? I had lunch with this guy yesterday, end of year last year, eh? And pastor wouldn't be a pastor if he wasn't going to share scripture or eight. The brother was just like, and me and my colleague were just like, my colleague ended up taking notes down. She was like, it was just, he was that knowledgeable about the Bible and just explained it in such a simple way that you can really understand it. And so you got an incredible pastor here. And so thanks, Royce, for inviting me to come and share. I guess just like some of the clients that have that we've watched, I came here to encourage you. And I like watched their video, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what else to say now. That was encouragement there, man. And I was just sitting there crying, to be honest, like totally blown away from Tian Tiso's story. Just incredible story of transformation. And it really speaks into the work here at Wainuia Mata. But before I go into the impact that you've had here in Wainuia Mata, I wanted to share a little bit about me. That's my whānau right there. And as I explained, my grandparents had come over to New Zealand back in the 60s. Mum was only 9 years of age at the time. So she virtually grew up educated here in New Zealand. Dad come over, fob dude. He'd come over like later on when he was like 20. And they obviously met my mum somewhere. And there you go. I've got my wife and I wanted to share a picture with my parents as well, because they've been massive in my life, hugely influential. And I just feel that families are really, really important as well. And so I wanted to share a photo that had them. But my wife, who's holding our little princess there, she's named after my mum, Isabella. And we got five kids, four girls. I was waiting for the... Four girls and one boy over there. Loved them to bits. My girls are beautiful. They're wonderful girls. They get their good looks from their mum, I think. She's got a bit of German, so the fair skin definitely isn't me. But that's my whānau. And again, I'm just really grateful to be here in front of the Wainuia Mata Baptist whānau as well. As I was saying, I'd come to encourage you because you guys have had a huge impact on the Wainuiomata community. When I think of Wainuiomata, I've never been here before, but when I think of Wainuiomata, I think of rugby league, my favourite sport in the world. I think of rugby league, I think of the great Johnny Lomax, Kiwi great, Canberra Raider great. His son Tyrell Lomax is playing for the Hurricanes, and he plays for the All Blacks as well. So I kind of think of those big, burly, brash sort of, but nah. I come here, wonderful people, Gary's singing away, Stuart gives me a big hug, I'm like, what? They're not the big burly people that I thought were here at Wainuiomata. Lovely people. And so thank you. I'm just going to carry on. But thank you. I was really struck by Stuart like hugging me. I go, hey, brother. Oh, man. Straight into there. And so thank you so much. But today, I'm excited to be here because we share the same heart. We share the same heart of walking with people that are in financial hardship. It's why we have partnered together, offering debt help to the Wainuiomata community for 8 years. This partnership is one where together we get to support people out of unmanageable debt. We just heard from a family that was helped from this church here. So you as a church get to hold those local relationships as to where the CAP team at head office, that's where the expertise is centralized to support your centre manager, Alan, and all those that are supporting your CAP debt centre here at Wainuiomata. And we have the same eyes to fully see people in need of help and hope. Did you catch the client testimony there? They said that when you helped them, they felt that there was hope. And so we have the same eyes to see people in need of help and hope. Not in what they lack, but as beloved sons and daughters of our God, the Most High. And I'm excited that you do this as a church, because there is power in working together to transform a community with the love of Jesus. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the 105 homes that you have walked into. That's 105 homes that have many people in there. So if we think about the impact, more than 105. You've impacted so many lives, and there's a generational impact that is made from these very visits that you have made. So thank you for visiting the 105 homes that you have visited over the last 8 years. 28 families have become debt-free. I think that's 29 now. 30? Can I take any more takers? 29 families. I grabbed these numbers a couple of months ago, so I felt that there was another one. So 29 families have gone debt-free. And we just heard from a couple this morning. And that's a huge number. Like I said, the generational impact is massive. But get that, man. More than $780,000 worth of bills, debts, have been paid off by all of the people that you have seen here in Wainuiomata. That's more than $750,000, ladies and gentlemen. In a couple of years, I'll expect that to be $1 million. Think about that. That's almost $100,000 every single year your debt center has been in operation, that these people have been able to pay and to write off all of their debts. That's incredible. That's huge. And now you've got families that are buying their own homes. It's a massive number, and I just want that to sink in for a little bit. Because it's a huge impact in little old Wainuiomata. Just Wainuiomata, not Wellington, nowhere else. Just here in the Wainuiomata community. Thank you so much. Today is a reminder of why we are in partnership. And it's an invitation for you to be involved. We heard from Alan, need more support workers. But it may be to deepen your involvement. Maybe you are already working as a support worker. But we most definitely need that support, because if not for support workers, it will be challenging for Alan to even be able to get into homes. We won't allow for Alan to go in by himself. He needs to go in with somebody else. And so we really would love for you to be involved in this ministry. It's edifying. It's encouraging. But I want to start by looking at a scripture. I want us to read the scripture and going to unpack it a little bit. There are some principles that I believe that will enable us to use it as a guide. And so in Mark 6, verses 30 to 44, and I'm going to read the story. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. Now by this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That will take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do we have?" he asked. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Sorry. Right, now I already read that. So stick with me here. I'm just going to pick a few things out for us to look at. And again, that will work for us in principle. And so the first being this here: Jesus brought order to chaos. So in verses 39, Jesus directs them to sit in groups on the grass. And I totally empathize with Jesus here, because the disciples haven't eaten, the crowd hasn't eaten, and it's been a long day. And I can attest to that, because I've got 4 brothers and a sister that eats like a brother. And when we were like out for long days, and then we had church stuff going on, and then we'll go and have practice for youth, and then we'll come back late, we were famished. Actually, my mum probably empathized more with Jesus, because she had to feed us. But that's what it looked like, right? And food is actually talked about a lot in the Bible. Jesus himself said that he was the bread of life. And we know that having enough food is both powerful physically, but mentally as well. Now, I'm not sure if you know this, but 3 out of 4 of our clients regularly skip meals before working with us. That would have been Tia and Tessel's family as well, as you heard. 500 and whatever it was for their rent, and only $50-odd for food. But they'll skip a meal or two, and then because they couldn't pay their bills and still have enough for money left over from the supermarket, well, then what they'll do is they'll go and borrow money. Sharon and Mike, they were forced to make awful choices every day. Do we buy food, or do we pay power for the bill? Do we pay the power bill? Sharon said, "I saw my kids getting sick, the power got cut, and we'd all be sleeping in the living room more sick than ever." See, Sharon and Mike actually had jobs. They were both working full-time, but there still wasn't enough money to get petrol, which meant they couldn't drive the kids to the doctor's appointment. And it seemed like the only option was, as I mentioned, getting more debt out. But as the debt compounds, the repayments become virtually impossible. Sharon said, "We couldn't see any way of keeping our heads above water." Soon she found her marriage hanging by a thread, because her and Mike were constantly fighting about debt day and night. You know, when during lockdowns, because I want to expand a little bit more about like Mike, about debt, thinking about debt day and night, we created this link where people could inquire on our website, and we would get that inquiry, and then we'll be able to respond to them at a later time. And we found that over 90% of the inquiries were coming through the hours of 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. Now, if you're talking about people thinking about debt day and night, that's the picture right there. People up late at night and they're thinking, mate, Googling help with debt, and they'll probably come across our website. So that was Mike and Sharon, fought about it all the time, day and night. Luna, she said that it's chaotic. You can't think properly. Luna talked about how isolated she was. This is her words. Because you feel down, you don't want to go and share your downness with everyone, so you just stay home. So it's a sad situation that a lot of our clients find themselves in, but the end result is they are isolated and they stay away from people. Now, part of Ellen's role is to collect bills, to collect paperwork from these people. They then send it over to us at head office, and we'll create livable budgets that are made for all of our clients. Now, it may seem simple, but it actually has a really profound effect on a client's well-being. This is the beginning of bringing order to some of the chaos that they are experiencing. In fact, for many of our clients, when they get to see how much is budgeted for food, they get really excited. Here's a client quote about how she felt about going to the supermarket with her new budget. I can't believe that every week I can buy school snacks that last, petrol that lasts the week, and decent meat and vegetables. It blows my mind every week when we go to the supermarket and I don't have to constantly say no to the kids when they ask for things. In fact, it makes me feel friggin' marvelous to say yes. It's amazing. It's amazing the effect that just a simple livable budget can make for a family where they now have enough money to be able to say yes to their kids. But before we even get to that point, before we even hear from testimonies or hear from clients about the impact that has been made in their lives, it actually takes for somebody to turn up. It actually takes for Ellen to turn up at your doorstep. This is a ministry where people are inviting you, literally inviting you to their home, literally inviting you into their vulnerability. But you can only get there if you turn up. The fact of the matter is, as you would have seen in the video that had me on earlier, it takes for you to turn up face to face with the client. Ka nohi ki te ka nohi with another person is huge. You have the compassion. You have the want to want to help these people. But sometimes, compassion can be inconvenient. There are actually times where you're like, I'm sure Ellen may have experienced this. I'd actually rather call. Or maybe I'll just send a text message. You know, because sometimes it can be inconvenient with what's going on in your own life. So compassion in a way can be inconvenient. But face-to-face and being kanohi ki te kanohi with another person, that's a convenient thing. It's the right thing to do. How many times have we wanted to, like, bail out? How many times have we wanted to just make that call rather than, like, actually turning up and being present? You know, if I wasn't here this morning and I was, like, I don't know, broadcast, video satellite, it wouldn't feel the same. To be quite frank, I'd be in front of a camera knowing that I'm speaking to people, but there's a difference in being face-to-face. There's actually a difference in being physically present. I'm standing here before people that are made in God's image. I too am made in God's image. Now, I'm no scientist, I'm no doctor, but when I'm face-to-face with somebody, I feel that there are things going on, chemically, neurologically, biologically, and any other logically that's going on. I kind of feel it. You feel that here when you are physically in front of somebody. And that's the same. It's the same for our clients. It's different when they're like on the phone. Yeah, okay. I must admit, when I was going out with my wife or girlfriend at the time, and I was on the phone, yeah, I felt butterflies. I definitely felt like, you know, I wasn't face to face with her, but I felt those butterflies. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Half an hour later, you hang up. So clearly there's something going on. But when I was face-to-face with my girlfriend or wife, nah, it's different. There's something about being physically present that makes a world of difference to anybody. I don't know what it is. I feel like when we were worshiping this morning, man, I was just feeling something different. If I was standing there by myself at home, like when we had to a couple of years ago because of lockdowns, yeah, I would have felt something. But it's so different when you're kind of here together. Have I emphasized ka nohi ki te ka nohi any more than I can? Being face to face with someone, I feel, is massively important. And we've seen the profound impact that it's had on so many people here. 105 homes that have been visited. Ka nohi ki te ka nohi with hundreds of people. And there's a great example there, Tia and Tiso, of people that Alan, Georgina were ka nohi ki te ka nohi with, and the impact that that had made. Another thing that I wanted to share is that, yep, the timing and the situation for ministry is really ideal. I kind of touched on it a little bit there, because sometimes we've got a lot going on. And you know what? There was no better example of ka nohi ki te ka nohi than what God had done for us. He sent Jesus to come down to his own creation to be ka nohi ki te ka nohi with his very own creation. How crazy is that? Think about that. And in this case, Jesus was tired. He's now down here face to face with his own creation, but Jesus is tired and looking for rest. Had actually just heard that his first cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded. So he was grieving and just trying to find some space to be alone with his disciples, to be alone with his friends. Definitely not the best time to be feeding hungry crowds. But Jesus had compassion on them. And I guarantee you that Alan, Georgina, Rose, whoever has been involved in this ministry, I can guarantee you that they've gone to a client visit on a cold and rainy night, or when they really were too busy to reschedule that visit again, but they still did it. Why? Because they know that there's a spiritual battle going on. We're fighting against the spirit in a spiritual battle against the enemy. There's nothing easy about that. And people in money chaos, well, they describe the feeling as drowning. Because that's what it feels like. Being caught in a river, you're trying to brave it out, you're trying to swim out of your situation, you're trying to swim to the other side, but the fast current keeps dragging you further and further away. John 10:10 says, "The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." We often forget the first part of John 10:10, that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. We see that all the time. We see it in financial hardship. Because it's more than just the physical. This is a spiritual battle that we are fighting. It kills relationships. It steals identity. I spoke to someone earlier about their money chaos killing a relationship. Destroys. Before calling CAP, more than 70% of clients said that this is what they argued about, couples, that this is what they argued about was money. And for a lot of them, it's the reason that, like, destroyed the relationship. So when he says he's come to kill, steal, and destroy, he does that. He kills relationships. He steals identity. Mike and Sharon and Luna, they all struggled for years. You don't always see that struggle from the outside, but there's absolutely an enemy who sees it all. So when you think about someone that's drowning in this river, you're zapped of energy, and one more swim stroke in that river is more than they can handle. It's tempting just to give up. It's tempting just to let go. This one's hard to hear, but 1 in 4 CAP clients before coming to CAP, they had thought about or attempted to take their own life because of debt. What a waste. Just because of debt. But this is not how Jesus sees it ending. Mm-mm. He said that there's a promise of a new beginning. This grace that has been given to us means that together with God, we can walk into the homes of beautiful people like Luna, Sharon, Mike, Tia, and Tiso, and then we can wrap practical help around these brave Kiwis. And then Jesus walks in with us with his promise in the second half of John 10:10, where he says that I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. In fact, Jesus chose the cross. He died for us and then he rose again and invited all of us into the fullness of life. Third, Jesus invited the disciples to be part of the solution. Jesus showed them an example of being ka nohi ki te ka nohi with others. And he invited them to be a part of that solution. Did you see that? Jesus asked them what they were going to do. He didn't need their help. You reckon he needed their help? He didn't need their help. But he invited them to be a part of that solution. Amen? Jesus chose to take what they had found and multiply it. How many times in Scripture are we invited to bring what we have and give it to Jesus? We read from Mark, but it's actually in John where we find the details of that young boy bringing the loaves and the fishes. And John, being a young boy himself, he would have noticed that detail. So I'll ask you, church, what do you have? Jesus is inviting you to be a part of ending money chaos, not just in our country, but here in Wainuiomata. What will you bring in offering? Thank you to those that are already being a part of this ministry. But if you're feeling a stirring in your heart, do you want to be a part of this ministry? Is Jesus inviting you into this place? Do you have time to go on a visit with Alan? He's humbly asked earlier before, but do you have time to maybe just go on a visit with him? This is an opportunity for you to encourage and walk alongside people. That's all you have to do. What did Georgina say? Can't remember what she said, but you just have to be nice to them. You just have to love on them. There's nobody better that does that kind of thing than the church. You do that better than anybody else. You bring that compassionate love and the love of Jesus. Do you have skills? Like maybe you can teach someone to sew a button, or maybe changing oil their car, maybe filling up their CV. You might have some skills there that could be on offer for these people that you're walking alongside. At our debt centre in Nelson, Richmond Debt Centre in Nelson, one of the church members there told the centre manager that he had two cows to donate. What is a client in money cows going to do with a cow? Well, the brother had actually butchered it so that the centre manager could have all of this meat for his clients. What a precious gift that is. Wish someone would give me a cow. But how cool is that? So you might not... Don't just think, oh, do I have to go visit? There might be something else that you could offer. Whether it be a cow or whether it be helping someone with their CV, but there might be something that you can help all of your clients with. Can you pray? Your centre manager is stepping into homes of brave people with complex situations. Some of their circumstances are really dire, but they need prayer. Can you set aside time to faithfully pray for Alan and the team and for all of your clients? One of the simplest things that you can do is to learn how cap debt help works. And then just talk to friends and family about it. 44% of clients actually hear cap through word of mouth. And 18% of our clients hear about cap at church. They actually hear it in this place. So maybe it's just a matter of you just sharing about it. Understand a little bit about how it works and then just share your ministry with others in your communities. Maybe it's your own families. Maybe it's your own friends. Now, the video that you'd seen with me, and I shaved off my mustache because it started to get white here. So that's what. But that video there actually had a client from Wellington, Mel. And so I actually wanted to share her story with you. Is that okay? Do we have a little bit of time? I just want to share her story and then we'll wrap it up. We'll be quick here. But I want to share a story of Mel because, A, she's Wellingtonian, born and bred. But it might give you a bit of an idea as to how the debt help ministry works.
I was lacking as a parent, lacking big time. I struggled a lot to provide my son with time. I'm sitting there thinking in my mind, trying to calculate everything else, freaking out about tomorrow or next week. There wasn't really much a thought or a picture in my mind about what our future would look like. Being stressed out every day over financial stuff, it doesn't give you a time or space to actually think about further than next week. I can't plan for next year. I couldn't afford it. I've put myself in so much debt that why would you even think about that when you know you can't make it there? All of that just stops you from living, like literally living. Our food situation was really bad. We had to stretch $50 every week. Noodles was like our basics. It was not healthy for me, nor was it for my kid. I would go to bed and my mind is wide awake, stressing out at the fact that not having the money that we needed. So I'll be up for hours, and it won't be until 3 to 4, maybe a.m. in the morning, that I'll start to finally fall asleep. I had no knowledge of how to be good with money. You only hear easy way outs. You don't hear of long-term solutions. Life was literally being in a panic room. There's no way out. You know, you don't know how you got there, but you're in there. You know, there's just no light to it. So you're trapped in every way. But then I got an email. Have you ever heard of Cap and Zed? Why don't you give them a call? So when I finally made that call, man, I was like shivering on the other side of the phone. As I was ringing, the person that answered was a woman, and she was so nice over the phone that I didn't even feel one bit of judgment whatsoever. And the weirdest thing that I've ever heard someone say to me over the phone is, can I pray for you? You know, being polite, I was like, okay, sure. She did her prayer, and I just sat there and I was like, I don't know, the feeling was really different. It was like calm. It's been a long time of being unstable, but in that one moment, you just know that you're gonna be held up, that no one's gonna let you fall. That was that moment. That was that moment for me. When I first met Andy and Mary, when they turned up at my front door, they are just the most loveliest people you would ever meet. Did not feel whatsoever, one bit, feel judged that day. When Andy told me to give everything, like I gave it. And when I physically gave those bills, I guess a bit of me went with it, and that was old me. You know, it was almost like losing weight, just not physically. As soon as he gave me that budget, I stuck to that, and I was so happy to pay just that. We went from $50 to $150. And I can actually say that I bought something that has better quality, that is better for my health and better for my son's health, and not have to worry about it anymore. The biggest change was I slept. My mind wasn't talking. My mind wasn't awake. When my eyes were tired, I could close them. Because someone took the pressure off me. Someone took all of my worries, all of that money that was digging in my mind right out of me. From the first call that I had with Cap, and then having someone pray for you, and then to have Andy and Mary come in, start with a prayer, finish with a prayer, that was surprising. To have them really rely on the big guy to kind of pave a path for my new journey, that was kind of like the shocking point for me. You just never would think that you would go on a journey with the big guy. My faith before my journey with Cap, it would have just been the word faith without any meaning, lack of understanding, a lack of belief. But after it all, right now, I would have to say that there is a lot of more meaning and a lot of more feeling and understanding. Yeah, I can say I have faith today. Working with Cap was way more than just getting myself debt-free. The process allowed me to not focus on everything, but to focus on the most important, which was my son, the time that I needed with him. It allowed me to look at money in a whole different way. My hopes are to finish my degree in lead teaching early childhood. Cap has given me my life, has given me our life, has given me a lot of hope to dream. The future for my son and I is full of possibilities.
Mel is one of 2,322 individuals or whānau that have gone completely debt-free. I mentioned earlier, there are more people that are involved than just that one individual. There are husbands, there are wives, there are sons and daughters, there are children within those homes that have been deeply impacted. And 29 of them were from here. Again, those are 25 individuals, but the impact is a lot more than that. And Cap never pays a dollar. We don't pay a cent. It's the client that actually does all the hard work in getting their debts and their bills paid. The $780,000, that's them. We don't offer a dollar. And again, there is a generational impact because they're now passing on these money principles to their children. I've got a friend up at head office. She was a recipient of the debt help service as well, and none of her nor her husband's families ever went to university. And for a lot of us Pacific Islanders, we tend to like leave school early to get a job and help mum and dad. And that's sort of where their children were headed. But then they found CAP, and then they went through the journey and become debt free. Their two eldest daughters now are both, one is almost graduating at Auckland University, this is her last year, and the other one is second year into university. Now, talk about an impact generationally, where they probably didn't realise that they would have these opportunities to go to university because they're going to go and help mum and dad out who were massively in debt. But because you were able to help them out, they now realise their potential or these opportunities in getting higher education and maybe better jobs for it, helping mum and dad. And so the impact generationally is huge. And this is where, again, I just wanted to thank you. I wanted to end off with thanking each and every one of you that have been a part of the Debt Help Centre here in Wainuiomata. I can't stress enough the impact that you've made because you went kanohi ki te kanohi with others, because you went face to face with clients, because you were physically present, because you were there for them. There's a huge impact that you have now made in the lives of literally hundreds of Wainuiomatians, if you want to call it that, but here in your community. Driving down here, I was like, I could just feel a sense of town, like of a small place that's there's something powerful about like the small towns that I visit in New Zealand. I grew up in Auckland, man. It's a big smoke. I don't know like half of the people around me. But coming down to a town, small town like this, and you can help the families that you're helping, that's huge. And that just has a massive impact in your own community. So from me to you, thank you so much. From Christians Against Poverty, to Royce, to Alan, to all of you here at Wainuiomata Baptist Church Whānau, thank you so much for all that you have contributed. Whether it be little, whether it be big, it doesn't matter. You have contributed. Alan showed me the where you store all the food for. I was just sitting there, like he didn't see me, man, but I was crying. Like oh, these guys, man. You don't have to do that. We don't ask you to do that. But that's what you're doing. You're doing these shops for not six people now, but like 11 or 12 sort of families are asking for it. But that's what you're willing to do. And that's just a massive testament to the whānau that you are here in Wainuiomata. It's lovely to see. I'm going off now. I'm going off on a tangent here. But it was so cool to see the worship team, man. It gave me memories of my gramps. Like getting up on the mic and singing. Oh, and I was sitting there, oh, mate, Gary, you the man. Love it. Like, but that's the DNA of I've just seen it here, just in my small time here. But that's the DNA of Wainuiomata Baptist. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter old or young. It doesn't matter if you're old. You keep on going. God has called you right to the very end. So it doesn't matter how old you are. You still have something to contribute. Love it. I absolutely love this church whānau. So thank you so much for having me here today. I'm sorry that I've gone off a little bit. But I'm just going. I'm just being led, and I'm just truly grateful and thankful for who you are as part of the church body of Christ. And I just really want to honour you today. So thank you so much for having me. Can I maybe pray quickly, and then you can? Is that okay? Sorry, Royce. Told you, man. I'm going off here. But I'm just going to quickly like pray just for you guys, if that's okay. Dear Father God, you are the Lord God Almighty that deserves all the honor and all the praise. There are not enough words in our vocabulary. There are not enough words for us to be able to do justice to singing your praises and to glorify you. But yet we will do all of that and more, because you so thoroughly deserve to be honored and worshiped, Father God. And this morning, I just want to thank you for the avenues that you have created for us to be able to be together in fellowship. I thank you for the time that we've spent together with the Wainuia Mata Baptist Church family. I thank you for who they are in this community and who you have called them to be. And I just want to pray a blessing upon each and every one of them. Thank you, Father God, for calling each and every one of them to what you will for them. And I want to thank Alan. I want to thank all those that have been involved in the Capdebt Help Center. I want to thank every single individual that's here that has contributed, even though they may not think they have, but they most certainly have in some way, shape, or form. And so I just want to pray a blessing upon each and every one of the families that are here today. And I pray especially for Pastor Royce and his family, Father God. May your blessings be upon him as he continues to shepherd your flock here at Wainuia Mata Baptist Church. It is in your son's precious name we pray. Amen.